Hello, Four State attendees. I'm Christopher Lunzer. I'm the host of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. We're found at not only on iTunes, but at all one word. It's all going to be all one word: thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And I'm happy and honored to be one of the hosts of a panel that's based on what's considered to be one of the premier goth movies, The Crow. I'm so sorry. With me to celebrate and talk about this movie based on a comic written by James O'Barr, which has spawned three sequels, several books, a TV show, and a rumored remake starring Tom Hiddleston, is Rochelle Davis. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Who played Sarah in the first film. How's it going?
It's going good.
Happy to have you not only as a guest at the show, but as a guest on our podcast as well. You being a former, what was it like being a former child actor?
Well, at the time I didn't really realize I was a child. I was very older for my age, but it was interesting. A lot of work, a lot of fun.
Well, what was it like to work with, you know, at the time legends, a business like Brandon Lee, who was starting out at the time, so to speak. Ernie Hudson, you had Tony Todd, and a whole mess of others.
Yeah, we had a great cast, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody was really good to me and kind, and made a lot of friends, so it was a lot of fun. Brandon was awesome. I miss him dearly. So,
and with a lot of movies that are out there, and when you, granted that you're still considered an actress in many ways, you hear so many movies about some actors and actresses having fun on set. Was there any, even though it's a very dark and very goth movie, fun on set?
Or? Lots of fun on set. We tried to keep the actual filming process very light and fun because of the fact that all the material was so dark and dreary. So we had a lot of fun. Brandon was really big on practical jokes and doing silly things on set, so that was quite often, and we were always laughing and having a good time.
I don't want to bring up any bad memories, but is it possible that you could share some of the stories with the show and the audience here at the panel?
I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Really, it's hard to remember. It's been 22 years, so it is hard to remember little things. I know. I try to pull something out of my memory every time I do an interview to just talk about him and the experience that we had there. We had Tetris Wars, so that was one thing we used to do on set a lot. Was I would give him my Game Boy, and he'd play and try to beat my score, and then I'd play and get higher score, and then he'd try to still beat my score, and never managed to do that, but that was a lot of fun. We used to have a good time with that.
As we said in our intro that we have shown, I don't know if the people out sitting for this panel have heard that there was going to be a rumored remake. What are your thoughts about something like that?
I don't think about it very much anymore. I did when it first started getting rumored. I'm pretty against it, but that's just where I stand.
Is it because you're close to the movie, or is
because of Brandon? I just feel like it's disrespectful to him. So,
like I said, I don't want to dive any deeper in that, because there are many people that we spoke to in reference to remakes. It's almost a 50-50 type deal that with some remakes, it's they don't want to soil on the original because it's been a fan favorite, especially with this movie, for well over 20 years.
Right.
We're not knocking Tom Hiddleston at all. He's a great actor. He's proven himself a lot, and he has that new Crimson Peak, I think, coming out. It's already out? Yeah, it's already out. But it's the aspect of we're respecting Brandon Lee's memory here so much. Again, when research, even though I'm a fan of the Crow movies, especially the original, looking up to see what you did and knowing what the deal was with being on the panel, I've seen so many haters saying, well, she hasn't acted in so long. Do you want to address those?
Sure. I mean, it doesn't bother me when people say things like that. I've even had my own mother, throw that in my face. It's whatever, in my opinion. I'm proud of what I did with The Crow, and whether I work again or don't work again, it doesn't make up my value of who I am as a human being. So, to me, if somebody has an issue with that, that's their own personal issue with it. But yeah, there are a lot of haters out there that, that make their comments. And what I would say to that is, if you've lived in my life and my shoes, then you can have the opinions that you have. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to me.
Granted, there has been numerous child actors who've done maybe one or two movies and just dropped out of the limelight, even though the movie was the movies that they might have done a complete success.
Right.
So, I'm not going to press for any details. What have you done over the past many years?
Well, I did one film in 2009 just to see if I would be into the whole process of working in a film again, and it was a lot of fun. It's just taken a lot of years for me to be comfortable with the whole idea of being back in that industry. Because of the post-traumatic stress that I suffered from him passing. And I know that it's very common for child actors to kind of drop off the face of the planet. That's a very common thing in our world. For me, it's a little different than I think it is for a lot of people in films that have done that. In the way that I was just very, I was mortifically upset just constantly after the filming. So to me, it wasn't a matter of like, oh, okay, I did something, poof, I'm gone. Like it was like I went into hiding, like for close to, you know, 15 years. I think I didn't do anything public. I didn't ever tell people who I was. I wouldn't even admit to being who I was if they asked me. So that was just what I did to self-preserve, I guess.
Have you seen any of the sequels? Or
no.
No?
Nope.
Because of memories of the...
No, just I feel like it was disrespectful to, like, what happened to him to even try to make a second or third or TV show, all the stuff that they did. I've never even, honestly, seen a trailer from any of them. I know some of the, like, the visual stuff that I've seen, you know, on prints that I've walked by in the past, things like that, but I don't really even take much notice to that.
As a casual fan of The Crow, and I love the original Crow, the sequels do not, personally, this is my personal opinion, so... send all hate to longcoatmafia@gmail.com, so it will address it there. But the effects-wise, the storyline seemed decent, but they seemed like a rehash. Granted, they are somewhat rehashed of the original, but they just seem played out. The special effects seem way too cheesy. It's like, oh, come on, granted, the sadness of everything behind the original. It's, you know, the goth aspect, the darkness that the original Crow projected out. It was not the same in once that I seen.
I know there wasn't anybody else that had worked in the original that worked on the second or third or any of those that aside from, I believe, the still photographer and the executive producer were the same. Everybody else creatively wasn't in it, or wasn't involved in it, I should say, crew-wise and things like that. So it's like impossible for them to have created a similar look. Yeah,
recapture the magic that might have been.
Yeah, they couldn't have. It's not possible. I mean, the crew that we had and the cast that we had made up an energy that just was different than what they had. So it just couldn't. In my opinion, I've never even seen them. I've just heard so many bad things that's what I assume happened. Is it was just
stay away from the bad energy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember seeing reruns of the show that was in essence based off of the movie that you starred in, and it did not hold up to that particular movie. What they tried to do is a modern day reference is. They tried to expand seasonally what the movie was in about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hour and a half, yeah.
About an hour and a half. Basically, a modern reference would be like Dusk to Dawn, where they expanded an hour and a half, 2 hour movie to over 20 some odd episodes. And where The Crow, the movie, was dark and goth and all this aspect. And brooding and so forth and so on. Here was a show that was light, kind of almost chipperish, kind of actiony, Let's bring all the stuff that made the show a success, take all that out, and just make this bright thing. Now, granted, as someone who's a fan of movies, especially those who made into TV shows, MASH, movie MASH, and show, you have loads of great successes and loads of failures. We're not saying the show was a failure from a standpoint, but not knowing what was behind the scenes, what they could do from a network standpoint and what they couldn't do is kind of...
Yeah, I would guess that too. I know nothing about the show. I just know it existed. That's all I know about that show.
Basically, they tried to break up the movie in 22 episodes, whatever it was, 20, 24 episodes, and it just did not work, because it was what happened at night, what you see in the movie, what you filmed, was all kind of done in the day.
Oh, okay.
It just... They kind of took out a lot of the supernatural elements other than what would have been Brandon's character.
Right.
So it's just, all right, we have the crow, but it's not the crow.
Right.
So... are there other things that are you interested other than being in the, you know, granted we're on a crow panel talking kind of crow, but that you're interested in, what, you know, what are you, as we say on the show, what's your geek? What are you into?
I'm into a lot of stuff. I do these conventions and they're a lot of fun. I've gotten to, you know, see a lot of different, I guess, types of geeks, which is cool. It expands, like, all the stuff I know about, and meet different people and get into different projects and such. Just a very artistic person, so I geek out on anything that's, you know, artistic and fun and creative.
That being said, are you into more music in reference to the art, or art as in drawing or painting?
I love music. I love to do art. You know, physical, like, I don't draw or paint, but I do collaging and things like that, writing, anything creative, pretty much.
What kind of music is...
I'm into everything. I mean, it's pretty scary. If you listen to my iPod, it goes from, like...
Disney to...
It'll go from, like, Metallica to Andrea Bocelli, and you're like, wait a minute, what happened? You know, and then it's Eminem, and you're like, okay, I'm very confused at what's going on in this music situation, but it's just how I am. If I like it, if it sounds good, if it has a good sound to my ears, I listen to it, and I'm, you know, I don't try to hate on any type of music, you know, aside from, like, maybe Justin Bieber and things like that, but, you know, I try not to hate on any type of music. I try to give everything a chance.
I tried to get on the I Hate Justin Bieber bandwagon, but it's full, thank you very much. But, I'm almost running out of, as much as I don't, would not like to, is there anything that the fans sitting here at the show would like to ask for show that we haven't asked yet? Yes?
Were you ever approached for any of the other...
No, I believe that I got a call for the second film to possibly do a voiceover for the trailer, and I turned that down. I wouldn't be involved in it. So after that, I think they knew better after that to ask me. I turned it down pretty coldly. So
that's the only thing that I've seen outside of the first movie, and when I realized it wasn't you playing Sarah, I was very disappointed, and that's probably why I didn't continue on to the show or the third movie.
Yeah. Some people have asked me why I didn't play Sarah in the second one. Well, first of all, it was done like 2 years after the original, and I was like 15 or 16, so it wasn't really... I wasn't at an age to play that part to begin with, and even if I was, I would have said, hell no, I'm not doing it, find somebody else. So, yeah, I've heard that before, though. You know, well, we thought it must be you, and then we turned it on, and it's like, who is this girl? She doesn't even look like you. She doesn't look... I know she has... Looks-wise, she looks nothing like me. I've seen her in one show, The L Word, she was in, that she was pretty decent. But, you know, I don't follow her work or know her that well.
I don't think... Not anything against her.
Right.
I just don't feel like it was a good fit coming from your character and going into that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that just because I know the actress's face and I've seen some of her work. She didn't really quite fit the character that they were going for, but I think it was looks wise she was very pretty and sexy, and they wanted to try to amp that part of it up, and you know, and I don't think any of it worked, but good for them for trying, I guess.
Or is there anything else?
No. Somebody in the back.
Go ahead.
First of all, the first one that you're in is the only girl, so I don't know anybody.
Thank you. Yeah, but that was something I was kind of used to from the gate, because we did some B-unit filming for the action stuff that happens, and because of him filming another scene where his face was in it, they'd have his double do, you know, from the back, things like that. So I was kind of used to it already, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't any easier once he was actually gone, because it wasn't the same. It wasn't like, oh, we're just using him because he's filming. It was like, no, we're using him because this is all we have, you know. So that part of it was not great. It actually, the scene that I did with him in the in his home, in the loft or wherever, that wasn't him, and that was actually a really hard scene to film for me at the time, because I was just coming back on set, and we had to film this scene that we hadn't filmed, he and I together. They had to rewrite the scene and make it so that you couldn't see him and such, and his double at the time that was standing in the window, I would run up and hug him, and they'd, you know, say cut, and that was that. But he started to play with me during the scene, and he would sniff in my ear to make me laugh, because I was so miserable. I was just not wanting to be there, not wanting to do it, except for just to get it done. So his way of trying to get me to smile like I was really hugging Brandon was to sniff in my ear like a puppy dog and make me laugh. So I always tell people, if you ever watch it and you see how they freeze frame my face at that moment, you'll see it. If you really look, I'm literally cracking up. I can't, like, hold it in that well. But that was, you know, it loosened it up a little for us. And I had worked with him for many months prior, so he was already a friend of mine. And, you know, it just kind of eased the tension of, like, yeah, we all know Brandon's not here and this is tough, you know.
Is anything else? Go ahead.
Was Brandon Lee actually supposed to do 3 Crow movies?
I'm not sure. I don't know, honestly.
Had he lived, it would have been an action.
Yeah, I guess there was supposed to be a series. I didn't know about it at the time, but yeah, I guess there was. I don't know much about what they had planned prior to, you know, him not finishing it, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either, especially nowadays. But when you look at it, even though it was a tragic thing that happened to Brandon, why? You know, in the process of the movie, I'm sure it was a rewrite, mm-hmm. That once his job was done,
yeah, what else
is there? What else is there? And it could have been just one of those things that, like, to use a current example, that here's an actor that sadly passed away on set. Everybody just rushes to the movie, makes it a success, instant success, and box office draw. And the studios say, hey, we got to make more sequels to this. What do we need to do? And
yeah, it's just milking it for everything it's worth, basically.
Which is a sad thing to do to for an actor that lost his life in an accident. It's, you know, it's sad. It really is. And you could probably debate that for hours on end on IMDb. So it's one of those things that you'll hear 15 people saying yes and another 15 people saying no. So, and as you've probably seen on stage, we have a little bit of a guest here.
She says hello.
She's saying hi. Clara. Stop. Here, call.
And who is this little lovely little...
This is my pit bull, scary, ferocious pit bull, Clara.
Hi, Clara.
She's very upset that she's not the center of attention right this second, and she wants everybody to know about it. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that how you feel? She's like, I'm being watched and there's lights on me. What's going on? She's getting used to being celebrity dog. So she gets her sweaters for here.
So, How long have you
She's a year old, and she's like she's kind of like my service animal. She helps with my anxieties and things. She keeps me safe.
And she, when I went to let Rochelle know that the panel was about to start any minute, and what's her little friend do is, hi, how are you? You know.
Yep, she comes up and gives hugs. She loves to cuddle and get hugs. She's very, very affectionate. That's why I say ferocious pit bull. She always likes to look real scary. It's like, then you rub her belly and she's like,
So, I don't know. Is there any more questions or anything you... Go ahead.
Besides the obvious that everyone was really speaking about, is there something that happened on set or that you remember whenever you were filming that is so memorable for you?
There's a lot. There is a lot that's happened. It would take me all day to go through everything, but I just met a lot of really good people. That's one thing I can say that kind of sums it all of them up, is that there were just so many still people that I'm friends with today, and they're good, really amazing people. And just for instance, Michael Berryman, who I didn't do any scenes with or anything because he was a Skull Cowboy, but he was there when I was filming and we talked quite a bit. I still talk to him now, and we chat, you know, on the phone, or he called me up on my son's birthday this year. He didn't realize it was his birthday, but I was like, oh, we're just cutting cake, and we just, you know, shot the shit and talked and such, and I still talk to quite a few people from the filming, and it was just, yeah, the connection that everybody had. Everybody had their own individual connection with each person, which is amazing, but we all have kind of a camaraderie that's just amazing, that, like, when we get together, it's like we were just together the other day filming, and now we're back together, and it's 22 years later, so it's crazy, but... yeah, a lot of good fun times on set. We just had a blast.
Have you? Now you said you were on the convention circuit. Have you seen any of the other cast members?
Yeah,
show?
Yeah. Actually, Ernie Hudson, I do quite a few events with. Tony Todd, I also work with often. I do sometimes. Michael Berryman, we'll do things together. Or even James O'Barr, I've done quite a few conventions with. And then we did a reunion one year. Lawrence Mason was there, and Tony Todd, and Ernie Hudson was there, and we just, you know, it's like, if we get a chance to get together, it's always a great time, you know, it's always like kids in a candy shop, like, yay, we're here together, isn't this cool, you're here, I'm here, this is awesome, we know each other.
So it's fun, you would go out, you have the usual, I won't say the usual con parties, but it's like a family reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much, and like Ernie, whenever I do a convention with him, we usually go out to dinner after the last day, and we'll just go and sit together, and he'll get people come up to him, and they'll say, hey, excuse me, and I'm always the one that I'm like, excuse me, we are at a table eating dinner, like, are you kidding me? Like, leave him be, and then he's like, thank you, I'm so, you know, and he tries to be as polite as, I don't care, though, I'm like, no, that's rude, like, why would you walk up to him and bother him while he's eating spaghetti? Like, leave the man alone, let him eat. But we always have a nice time together.
For some of those diehard fans out there, she said spaghetti, not hot dogs.
No.
Because
I was actually a vegetarian at the time, so.
Someone that said something, piped up, don't want to intrude on their question.
Somebody said no onion.
The onion thing.
No onion. Because when they watch the movie, they have to have, like, the... same thing, almost the same similar stuff in the movie. Mm-hmm. When having a crow marathon.
Yeah. Well, I had a girl that cosplayed me at an event and sent me the picture of her in the outfit, and or I guess her father had sent me the picture of her in the outfit, and he said she was so into it that day that she had to get, like, an actual hot dog to eat for lunch because she felt like that was in character to have, like, a hot dog, and I thought that was so cute. I'm like, how awesome. I'm like, if she only knew I was a vegetarian when I filmed that, so there was no hot dog that I ate, but I ate the bun, so that, I guess, counts. It looked like a hot dog to everybody in the film, so that worked.
And they do make vegetarian hot dogs.
Yes, they do, but they didn't worry. I mean, they didn't get me vegetarian hot dogs. They just scoot it back, so when I bit it, I didn't eat the hot dog part, but, you know.
But it's... Granted, we're all fans of the same type of movie or the series, whether you like them or not. I'm sure, like most fans, we'll, if there is a viable remake, we'll be going out, seeing it, and what will we be doing, folks? Complaining about it as soon as we leave. Not like the end.
I could hear the fans now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Brandon Lee.
And I'll say the same thing to everyone that says it to me online. Once they see it and tell me it was terrible, I'll say, told you so. Why are you complaining to me? I told you don't see it, so it's your fault.
Well, I'll probably rent it. And then tell everybody about the show.
Just give it 2 weeks, it'll be on the $5 shelf at Walmart. Right. Don't worry about it, it'll be there.
Next, I think, Gigi?
Oh, God, yeah.
Which they just hand out to everybody. But this is, again, a very celebrated movie. And you've had a very outstanding experience with the cast, both on screen and off screen,
mm-hmm.
both many years later.
Yeah.
And you have wonderful...
Yeah, I have a wonderful man in my life that gets on my nerves sometimes, but don't they all? And a really great dog and 4 rats and a kid, and I'm doing all right.
And, yeah, she's a very vocal little puppy that's sitting right underneath you.
She's still letting everyone know I'm here and I'm wicked cute.
And you're more than welcome to go up here and intrude on the show. It's okay. It would be the first time a pet has ever intruded on our show. Happy to celebrate that fact. So, despite the fact that, you know, we're talking about a movie, very gothy movie, that had a very pretty white cat in it, and we're sitting on stage with a very pretty...
She's a blonde dog.
So that's almost coming full circle, but not at the same time. So still an animal is involved. So does anybody have any questions or further comments that they would like to ask Ms. Davis?
Yeah, back there.
How did it feel to do the second movie? You did the 2009...
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, I didn't work that many hours. I only worked like 4 hours or two or three. I don't even know. It was a blur because it was just a lot of fun. But it was really fun. It's I think for many years I forgot how much fun I have doing that because the aspect of what had happened on set, it connected with that memory, and so it was like, oh, if I do that again, it's going to be painful. But really, it was just that particular isolated incident that was painful, and now when I work, it's a lot of fun. It's just the same as my whole life when I was doing, you know, plays and things. Just a lot of fun, just the way I like to work.
So you have done plays.
I've done a lot of plays in my life, yeah, a lot.
Because that's part of what I've seen online is that I'm not knocking, you know, I don't want to intrude on anything that might, you know, you don't want to talk about, but some of the, as I was saying before in reference to haters, like, oh, she hasn't, the reason why she hasn't acted in all these years is because the incident that happened on that. So it's, yeah, for those who might be listening to this, she just said it here, she's worked in several plays.
Yeah, I have worked many, many times in my life in general, plus, you know, since, and I will be working again. You know, from here
you're
out,
just doing it
very slowly. I mean, I'm
on your own terms.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have any rush to do anything specific. If I find something and it's interesting, I'm supposed to be filming in November, doing a roller derby coach part in a film, and that looks like it's going to be fun. I haven't gotten all the details, so I haven't like hyped it up or anything, but it should be a lot of fun. And what a great part to play, like a roller derby coach. I get to scream at people and stuff. Like, it's awesome. So yeah, I mean, anything that sparks my interest, I'll take you know, the time to sit and deal with. But you know, I'm just choosy about it, not in the way of like, oh, I'm better than that or anything. But just if I'm going to spend that time and the energy to do something, I want it to be something I'm enjoying.
So it's like the right script rolls across.
Yeah, like I wouldn't do a screaming part, you know, or something like. I mean, that's just not fun to me. There's got to be some sort of creative aspect that's fun to me, and like this part that I'm working on with the roller derby coach, I've been given a lot of freedom. Like, you can, you know, make her however you want her, or make her like this or like that, and pick like whatever mannerisms or whatever, or if there's something else you want to add to it. And that's fun because then it gives me a lot of, you know, time to sit and think about her and what she's going to be like and what she would dress like or how she would talk or how she'd address people or what she, you know, her facial expressions, things like that, that maybe people don't always take into account that we do when we're filming stuff. But that's a huge part of your role is creating this character for yourself to play, that people see you as that character. And That's how, you know, that happened for me in The Crow, and I hope that anything I do from here on out will be the same, that people can look at it and say, oh, wow, she was definitely not just herself in that. She played a part. She played something in that.
So, I know some actors would not go into TV. Film actors would not go into TV. Would you go into TV?
I wouldn't have a problem with any particular genre of work, as long as, like I said, as long as it was something that was interesting enough to do. You know, like, I would love to do something like Orange is the New Black. That's a great show. I mean, it's just a fun, kind of a fun thing that I would, you know, things like that. And I just use that as an example, but, you know, anything that's, like, interesting and would actually take, you know, a creative soul and mind to do, it would be something I'd be interested in.
So, would you... Hey,
Here comes the center of attention.
I don't mind that. Hey, if she wants to be a center of attention, she could be the center of attention on our show.
Open.
She could be a center of attention. Come over here and say hi to us. If she actually says hi on the show,
then I'm going to make a lot of money off of her, is what's going to happen if she says hi on the show.
Show exclusive. I'll be the first one to say that. And she's more than welcome to come and say hi and be very friendly.
Yeah. A little too far. Come on.
Clara, here come. Here come.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been a very good girl. She's our first dog guest on the show. I won't say that. At least she's very well behaved.
She's pretty well behaved. Yeah. She's got her moments. She's very squirrel. You know, it's... She's like, I'm really good, squirrel. Forget it.
And now she's just laying down there, relaxed. And
bipolar, possibly.
Yeah, bipolar dog.
So that you working on possible TV. So would you go to something like comedy, or would you stick with like the drama?
Anything. I mean, I can do any. Yeah, I'm very versatile. I mean, it doesn't have to be any like specific type of, or, you know, it has to basically make my ears go up when like a dog does, you know, what's this about, you know, like that's all it really has to, you know, come into play for me to be interested in something.
And again, anything else from the audience that they would like to ask or anything like that, talk about, go ahead.
That's okay.
It's okay.
What was the audition process like, being that you were, 11, 12?
I was 12. The audition process is pretty general. Like most, it's you go in, you read your sides. They give you pieces of the script. They're called sides. You go in, you read your sides to the casting director. And I had gotten called back three times, I believe, after my first audition. So I had auditioned four times total before I was actually casted. So each time was a little different, and each time had more people. Like, every time I got there, was, like, more people in the room, and, you know, like, oh, we like her, bring more people in to see her now, and, you know, but it's, I guess for some people, auditioning is very stressful because of the rejection factor, you know, that you're going in, and they could just go, yep, pass on that, you know, and it's like you're nothing when you go in and out, but for me, it was just, a chance to do what I like to do. So I was like, I don't care if they pick me or not. I just care that I get to go in and read these fun sides. And, you know, eventually they film you doing it, and they'll ask you a lot of questions. Like, they asked me if I was okay with being in the rain for long periods of time, and how did I feel about the cold weather, and do I know how to skateboard? Are you afraid of heights? You know, and it starts to, like, make you wonder, like, what are we doing in this film exactly? It was fun. It was just, you know, it's an experience. My father got to go with me on my last callback. He had gone with me, and he'll probably want to kill me if he hears this, but he cracked me up because he wore a full suit and, like, shiny shoes to New York. But it was like, I wanted to say to him, like, are we going to go to the club car and have martinis on the way to New York? Dad, come on. Like, and I'm like, we're going to an audition. And I came out of the room, and I think it was, like, gray sweats, and I had a do-rag on my head, and he's like, what are you wearing? I'm like, I'm dressing the part. He's like, you look terrible. I'm like, that's the point. Like, what? And he didn't get it. He didn't get, like, what that... He just thought, oh, this is a big deal. You're going to audition. We have to look dressy. And I'm like, you are going to be the only man in that waiting room in a suit and tie. Like, take the tie off. I think I did get him to take the tie off, but it was, like, it was bad. Shiny shoes and all. It was...
nowadays, it's keep that up, Dad. I'm taking a picture. I'm posting on it.
Oh, I would have. If we had Facebook then, he would have really hated me. Yeah, it would have been bad.
And as you know, you were a child actor. Not only did you have to deal with everything on the set, yeah, obviously they had to keep up with it. Was it recorded in the summer or?
No, it was winter. It was January to. I guess we were there until I think. Well, we were there until he passed, and then we came back after. I guess about a month after he passed to start filming again for about another month. So most of it was pretty
so
freaking cold.
You have to deal with the filming issues and.
Try to say your lines when you're not when you're shivering. You're like, you had to like get this like real hard face on, do your lines, and they'd go cut, and you'd go, this is cold. Like, yeah, it was really, really cold.
You had probably had to have schooling on set as well because
I did like about, I believe 2 or 3 hours of schooling a day, and then sometimes 9-10 hours of shooting. So it just depended on how much we had to get done that day for. You know, their production call, what they had, you know, lined up, and we'd do, you know, I'd do my best. So I never complained, though. I wasn't, you know, I could have probably complained a lot, you know, with the hours they went over, what child labor laws would allow me to do, but I didn't care. I just wanted to.
One of those things that, even though you were that young, I'm in a movie, so to speak.
It wasn't even that. It was just, it was what I enjoyed doing. I actually, just from, like my mother said, the moment I could talk, I started putting on shows and singing songs and creating things. And I got a hernia when I was 3 years old from moving furniture to make a set in my living room because I was doing a play. And it was like, she was like, a play? Like, you're three. What are you going to do? And but that was my thing. So it never was, to me, it wasn't work. It was like, this is what I love. So we're just doing what I love. And I happen to be getting paid for it on top of that. This is awesome. So to me, it was never a question of that. It was just, let's just keep doing this. And it was more of my parents and grandparent that was there with me that would say, no, like, she's worked 14 hours. I think she needs to go home. And I'd be like, no, I'm good. You know, I'll just eat another pixie stick or something. I'll be fine. No, you need to go home. You know, you have school in the morning kind of thing. So if they hadn't been there, I probably would have been working way more than they would have allowed. 24-hour days, yeah.
Just having fun.
Yeah, just living on caffeine and sugar.
This is, again, for our younger audience that might be listening, this is way before Monster Energy Drinks, Red Bull. I think Jolt Soda was...
Jolt was not even out yet.
So you had to rely on many...
Oh, I drank their coffee. They always had like a little coffee and donut area. I'd go over and suck it down.
And it was just probably Maxwell House and just whatever sugar that they had. So It's nice. It's always nice to hear that someone had fun, despite the trip. You know,
yeah.
Don't want to go.
Well, I would say it's bittersweet. There's no other way to describe it. It was a great experience that was capped off with an awful experience at the end. You know, and it is what it is. What can I do?
According to IMDb, your first role, first official role.
Yeah.
Were there any actors that were showing you the ropes as you were going along?
They all had their little, you know, ways of helping me through, you know, the process because I had never filmed before. Me and Brandon would sit and rehearse together and talk about how we wanted things to look and, you know, how to make it look that way or how to portray whatever it was we wanted. Ernie and I had sat a couple times, you know, before and rehearsed our scenes together and such, and it's always helpful when you have, like, veteran actors that already know how cameras work and how things are filmed and how things go to just kind of show you the ropes. It's just like any job, though. You go there and they start to show you and you do it, and then it becomes second nature to you, so.
The reason why I ask is I'm not knocking any actor or actress, but there's a lot of professionals that once they get on set, it's, okay, I'm here working. It's time to work. Once from that moment they say action and it's boom, work, lines, cut, offset, back to the trailer, and that's it. And yet you have the complete opposite, like the experience you had.
Mm-hmm.
All right, first time here, come over here, let's have some fun. It's noogies.
I was lucky. I was very lucky. I had like 15 older brothers like every day, so it was just great. You know, like walk around and said, "Hey, you and you and you." You know, it was cool to be the only kid there.
I don't know how much time we have, or if we're allowed to run over. Is there any
Well, if you run over, who cares? Is there any other questions in the audience? That or comments, smart remarks?
Sure.
Yes, you.
How you doing, girl?
Hey.
What was the one thing from The Crow that stuck with you beyond all the cliche things, the romance, the unfortunate and tragic death of Brandon? What was the one thing that stuck with you?
Brandon. He is the one main factor that stuck with me. I get, you know, like you were saying before about the haters, you know, I'll get people that'll say, well, that was 22 years ago. And I'm like, oh, really? Do you not miss people that have gone from your life just because of the time frame that it's been? Like, he was what made that set light up. So he was amazing. And it was just, that's, you know, not the one thing, but the one person that stuck with me over everything else was just his light, and his spirit was beautiful. And I think it really kind of revved everybody. I think you know that for sure, that it just kind of revved everybody to be there and be present because of him.
And like I said, we don't want to knock on the memory of Brandon Lee or go any close to what we agreed upon prior to the panel or anything like that. So we're here to celebrate The Crow and what the movie and its series have given us over the past 20 plus years, and probably will continue, hopefully, if it's done right, probably not, will continue for many years to come. So, is there anything else before we're tossed out of here? Again, questions, comments, smart remarks? No? Yes, sir.
Hello, I've dressed up as Eric Draven for a long time. I think you have to.
Yeah, last year on Halloween.
Awesome.
Like, it was, like, the movie, it was really pretty, and I just love pretty movies.
Yeah, and I do too.
So, like, it's, I don't know, like, when I watched it as a kid, I still watch it. It's one of my favorite movies, and, I don't know, so I just really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
And it's,
well, thank you. Awesome. I always love when I see people dress up as Eric Draven. I think it's really cool. He put a lot of work into his look, and when people want to, you know, they say it's the highest form of flattery is when somebody imitates you, so I think that's really cool.
Anything else?
She's great with the rats, actually. That's a great question. People always just assume she wants to eat them. She doesn't. She actually kind of mothers them. She feels like she's, you know, she goes over to their cage and barks at them if they fight. Like, you guys knock that off. Don't do that. You're, you know, she keeps order in the house, and it's really funny. If I open their cage to feed them, she puts her head right in the cage. And she looks around, and they crawl up on her face, and the one nips her nose all the time, and she's always pulling back, like, what are you doing to my face? But she doesn't try to bite them back or retaliate. She's just like, all right, you're littler, and you're going to nip at my nose, and that's just going to happen here. So she's really good, though, and they've been around her since she was a puppy. So, I mean, 3-week-old puppy. Before her eyes were able to see them, she could smell them. So they're very. She's very used to them.
I think the gentleman over here had a question.
I haven't thought much about it, but it's, I mean, it's fine. It's like I said, it's the highest form of flattery, so it's really not. Yeah, it's not, to me, there's nothing wrong with that. If you look up to someone or something, you know, that's been done, I don't think there's a big deal with. I think if it wasn't as obvious and maybe was trying to be like a rip-off or something, maybe it would make me feel different. But I think it was more of a, you know, honoring him than anything else. So I thought that was pretty cool.
A combination of an honor of the aspect or the embodiment of that aspect and a mimicry of that, and we're copying that. And that's why you probably seen his... I'm sure we're talking about the same wrestler.
Yes.
Sting. I think that's why you've seen the face paint change over the fat pet when he first started going that route. He was using that aspect of, again, imitating, being a serious form of flattery, where in that storyline, he was seeing that aspect die, and therefore he had to come back as that, and here was
the Clown.
You know, the Crow. No. Why not the Crow? No. So again, it was just being probably just that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It was probably no harm, no foul, and we can't really speak for a lot of the people that cannot be here right now in reference to that. So, anything else? Okay, I guess we could call it a panel.
Okay.
Again, we at the Long Coat Mafia would like to thank Forest Ake for having us host this panel. We'd like to thank Ms. Davis for being on our program and on our panel.
Thank you guys very much.
We'd like to say this was our first official panel. We hope we did a good job. Again, we hope if this event happens next year, we're invited back to host another panel, and we wish Ms. Davis the best of luck in her career and what she does in the future. And if you, again, to find our show, it's on iTunes, and it's also on Stitcher Radio, which is stitcher.com, and it's also on our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. This episode will be most likely dropped on Monday, and I'll send you the link.
Great.
So, again, thank all of you for coming today. And, again, thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for coming.